I see you here all the time.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, like all the time. What are you doing? Are you like vlogging or?
Yeah, it's just my podcast, bro.
Oh, your podcast? You right here?
Yeah.
That's awesome. What's your podcast?
It's just online, talk about psychology.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, it's like, you know who Jordan Peterson is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sick. What's the name of your podcast?
C.S. Joseph. You want a card, bro?
Yeah, I'll take one for sure. I always see your eye here. I'm like, I wonder what he's doing. I'm like, he's either blogging or just taking pictures or something. I'm like, see your phone all the time. So I'm like, all right, he's got to be like blogging or something.
There you go.
For sure, dude.
I'm on Spotify.
CJ, nice to meet you, man. I'm
DJ?
C.
C.
CJ, yeah.
Yeah. What do you do for a living?
Life insurance. Last 8 years now.
What brings you down here?
Actually, I used to live in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
It's over the politics, over the people.
Yeah?
It's all about whose dick's bigger.
So you just, I preach it. It's kind of like when you go to L.A. and it doesn't matter how much money you make, popularity is king. But then you go to Seattle, no one gives a shit about popularity and everyone cares about how much money you make.
Exactly, right?
Cultural differences, man.
It's all different. So I was just over it. I lived that lifestyle for too long and I'm like, you know what, I'm wasting money and I just got to do something different. My sister lived up here and I came up here to visit, I fell in love and literally like 30 days later, got rid of everything, moved up here.
Just got rid of it. You're like that man from the Bible who sold everything he had for that one pearl.
That one pearl, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I get it.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump back inside, but I just want to know.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, man.
Hey, no problem. If you want to be on the show, come back out.
I will.
What's up, Ego Hackers? Welcome to the show. Hopefully we'll have some random people. But if not, it's fine. Got other stuff I got to talk about this evening. So, yeah. So tonight, we're going to be posting into the Journeyman Members area the new and improved season 12, part 2, episodes 1 and 2, how to optimize your social interaction as an ESTJ and how to optimize your social interaction as an ESTP. And honestly, like, thing is that, like, this is probably going to be one of the most difficult seasons for me to be delivering, as we do in the private members area, which you can get access to at csjoseph.life/members. But I gotta be honest, like, it's really pulling at the heartstrings, especially for me personally. It's been difficult, very difficult, and extremely humbling experience. I got to give credit where it's due. John Bodine is the one who actually proposed the idea behind Season 12, Part 2, going back to what we've been talking about with social compatibility, which is mostly, you know, targeting human nature. But we've added a little bit of human nurture. We've added a little bit of sexuality to kind of just explain how sexuality has an influence over social interaction. And one of the points that we talk about in this particular series is this thing called what we're calling like the social Ouroboros, right? Between the masculine and the feminine. We're also talking about each of the hangups that each personality type has relating to social interaction in their day-to-day life. Well, you get it tonight. It's posted tonight. That's when you get it. So, two episodes we're dropping this evening, and provided nothing bad happens. But I expect both those episodes to be dropping tonight. You all can watch them. Episode 2 is particularly hard and hits home for me personally on multiple levels. It's a big deal. So, you mean where? Oh, csjoseph.life/members in our Journeyman membership, bro. It's only like $29 a month. It's got years and years and years of content, you know, behind there. I think we're at about 10 weeks now. It takes someone 10 weeks to binge through it all. So good luck, you know, getting through it. But we had a team meeting and we were going in a different direction. We were going to do like Octagram and parenting and whatnot. But John Bodine said that, no, we need to be releasing something that's even hits way more close to home in terms of personal growth and development and helping people develop maturity. And he proposed this perspective about social skills and each of the 16 types. and helping people optimize the social skills. But what this also does is identify a lot of the social skill problems that each of the individual types actually have. And then we mix in a little bit of 48 Laws of Power, some Robert Greene, mix in a little bit of Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. We're talking about the Ouroboros of, which I'll actually talk about here. I'll give you guys a sneak peek as to what that's all about, the Ouroboros, what we're talking about, of social interaction. But I'll be honest, like, it's an extremely painful series for me to deliver. Episode 2, like, oh my God, it's hard to, like, not to lose myself in the emotion of it. Because I'll be honest, like, it's extremely painful. It's an extremely painful series to film and to participate in. And very humbling. Probably the most humbling experience that I've had in terms of the content that we've offered Ego Hackers so far. Because, like, I mean, I felt exposed before with, like, some of our past content that we've released. But right now, like, I'm hella exposed. Like, me personally, I'm hella exposed. Even on episode 2, which is not even about my type. You know, it's about ESTPs, but, like, just seeing where the direction of this of season 12 part 2 is actually going, and the 16 episodes that we're going to have for season 12 part 2, it is absolutely just, it's nerve-wracking. It hits you at the core, because basically what this season is doing is it is exposing all of the social faux pas that the 16 types are not even aware of. We're not even aware that we do this. We're not even aware of these hangups. Everyone else is aware of these hangups, but we ourselves are not aware of these hangups, which kind of makes a lot of sense because, you know, when people, you know, take personality tests or whatever, people just really don't know themselves. And because they don't know themselves, right? Because they don't know themselves, they're giving bad input to these tests. These tests may be able to process things, and they may have a perfection about them. The human beings always struggle giving proper input because they don't actually know themselves, which is why they're taking the personality test to begin with, right? You know, our personality test is at udja.app, udja.app. Check it out. But yeah, like, it's the same effect. When you're actually able to utilize season 12, part 2, to entirely expose yourself and actually understand what your actual social hangups are, what your actual social faux pas are, and just see, like for the first time, really how you are actually coming off to other people, you know, with your cognitive functions, it is an extremely humbling experience. I was humbled earlier this evening because I almost got thrown out of one of my favorite bars. Not because I did anything wrong, but just on the basis of the fact that I make people uncomfortable, you know, because extrovert sensing demon, right? And that is basically a social faux pas. And that sucks, right? Because, you know, me being an ETP, I got to make a decision as to whether or not I want to be a social chameleon, or maybe I actually have to grow and learn, you know, some social skills, or maybe if I am learning those social skills, am I actually being a fake person? Do people like the mask more than they like me? You know, these are all the questions that ends up coming up. The problem is that I've come to realize it's not just about me. It's not just about TP types who are pragmatic, who can be, you know, harsh and have that blunt force of TI. No. Every single one of the 16 types actually has this experience. And I realized, well, actually delivering the content, that there's a lot of problems associated with that, problems that we're not even aware of. And it's so interesting, like, if only everyone's external judgments could be exposed from time to time with each person that we meet out there, because in doing so, we might actually be able to grow properly. The thing is that most people and their egos can't handle the criticism. They can't handle the feedback, right? See, the criticism that they're afraid of, or they're afraid of feedback. You know, in the same way that an ISFP or an INFP is afraid of criticism, you got ISTPs and INTPs who are afraid of receiving feedback from other people to the point where they'll even avoid feedback, right? This causes a host of social problems. And the thing is, right now, because of Season 12, Part 2, which we're building upon what was presented in our Season 12 playlist here on YouTube and on the podcast, we're presenting basically, okay, nice social compatibility you have there. That's really great. Congratulations. You played yourself. Why? Why did you play yourself? Because here's the thing. Just because you are compatible with somebody as a man for your man-to-man relationships or your male-to-female relationships, or just because you have high camaraderie for your female-to-female relationships, just because you have these benefits does not actually mean that you have social skills. It doesn't mean that. You know, the work that we're doing in the nonprofit for the men's group and the women's group, building femininity in the women, building masculinity in the men, and doing these different things, you know, it really just comes down to building one thing and one thing only, and that is social skills. But we're really hyper-focusing on social skills for help that are derived from helping people manage their own sexuality. That's ultimately the goal or the purpose behind the men's and women's groups. However, this particular series, Season 12, Part 2, and the next coming 16 episodes, is really about utilizing your nature and a little bit of your nurture, a little bit of your, a lot of your type, and a little bit of your octogram to help you build the social skills that you actually need, right? Imagine it. Imagine an ISTJ or an INTJ with extroverted feeling trickster, where these people basically have no social skills whatsoever. They have no social skills because effie trickster, right? Right? Imagine all of a sudden being given the instruction manual or the rubric from which not only can you identify your hangups, but you're given the tools to actually fix those hangups, right? And build upon them. And turn those hangups actually into strengths. Strengths that would build your character as a person. Strengths that would entirely, like, improve your life in every way, shape, or form. Because the lack of social skills has been a huge, huge problem, especially in Western society. Why? Because a lot of the times, like you go to like the Middle East, where it's mostly ruled by theocracy and their own belief system, their spiritual belief system, right? Like with Islam, for example, or you go to India, they have their Hinduism belief system, Buddhism for the East, the Far East, etc. A lot of their culture is based upon these belief systems. But in the melting pot of Western society, culture is essentially decayed. And we have, in effect, lost our spirituality, the spiritual influence upon society, social norms. So what this has done is created many generations of socially inept people who lack social skills entirely. And what John Bodine and I have been able to expose is, hey, here's where you're fucking up. Here is where you're actually lacking in social skills. Yeah, it sucks. But hey, here's the actual solution. Here is the solution. Here's how you can develop social skills based on knowledge of yourself, knowledge of your type, knowledge of who you are. And that's absolutely important. It's insanely important. And like I said, I feel entirely exposed. Especially having that bad experience earlier today where I got Mind Temple in my face telling me, oh man, you're making people uncomfortable. You know, it's no different like when, for example, I'm in Rogers, Arkansas, for example, and I'm walking around on the street bored out of my freaking mind because, you know, ENTPs, we have a tendency to getting bored sometimes. And there I am, you know, flipping my butterfly knife trainer, you know, which is harmless. And I'm just flipping it around, you know, just sitting there having some fun on a park bench, enjoying my butterfly knife trainer right there, not doing anything, minding my own business, right? And then some ENFJ asshole comes up to me and tells me, along with his girl, and he's like, hey man, don't you think it's really weird? Don't you think it's fucked up that, you know, you're flipping a butterfly knife in public? And I'm like, sir, it's not a knife. And I prove that to him, you know, it's not a knife. well, it looks like a weapon. It looks like it. And I'm like, so what? It's not. I'm not breaking any rules. I'm not violating any laws. Everything I'm doing here is perfectly legal. Well, it's making people uncomfortable. You see, technically, while I'm doing nothing wrong in the eyes of the law or the eyes of the actual rules, I am, in effect, committing a social faux pas. You know, there's the second law of power, according to Robert Greene, which is so much depends on reputation, guard it with your life, right? Where do you guys think someone's reputation is going to be after committing so many social faux pas over and over and over? Now, granted, there are situations where you're going to want to commit social faux pas, because by committing social faux pas, it's going to be necessary, because if you can live by example and show people that by committing certain social faux pas, you're going to want to, because by living by that example, you are in effect changing culture based on who you are and who your identity is. So I'm not saying to never commit social faux pas. I'm saying we're going to give you the tools to be wise about it, right? To be able to see which social faux pas you should commit and which ones you shouldn't commit based on which situation you're in. Because at the end of the day, what are we all trying to get out of life? Our cognitive origin. That's what we're trying to get. Our cognitive origin, right? My cognitive origin is satisfaction. If I'm going to be satisfying others, people better be giving me respect. If I'm going to be showing respect to other people, they better be satisfying. Here's the thing. Like, I almost got kicked out of this bar earlier, one of my favorite places to be, where I like to take people and hang out. What was I doing? I was not disrespecting anybody, right? So I expect to be satisfied, because I'm not disrespecting anyone. In fact, I am showing respect. I'm showing reverence to others. But still, Mind Temple looks at that. He's like, well, you look like you're a bad person. You look dangerous. Therefore, because you look dangerous, you're uncomfortable. Therefore, since I know best, because I'm part of the Mind Temple, I get this ISTP is in my face, this ENFJ is in my face. It's so interesting just staring down two Mind Temple Templars who think they're so right about everything. My God. They don't even realize that they're alienating one of their best customers. For example, we got EgoCon coming up at the end of October on the 28th and the 29th. If you want to get in on EgoCon, the announcement was posted on Discord. Go to discord.gg/egohackers and then go get to do your verification and then do your welcome one and welcome two channels to get in. And then go to the announcements channel, scroll up, and you'll see the announcement for EgoCon. But I was going to be, as part of our pub crawl that we have, going to be taking Ego Hackers with me to this particular location. Well, because of how I was treated and alienated as a customer who did nothing wrong, right? We will not be going there. We'll be boycotting that place, actually. And that's not my fault. That's not my fault. Yeah, I have extroverted sensing demon. Yeah, I make people uncomfortable. Yeah, there are certain situations where I should not be allowing my extroverted sensing demon to be making people uncomfortable. I get it. I fully understand that. You know, and yes, there are situations where myself as an ENTP, I need to be humbling myself in that moment to make sure that I am performing better. Because as I perform better through the cognitive battleground of, you know, cognitive reflection, the battleground of Titans, then in effect, I am becoming more desirable as a result. But it's not my job to be desirable in every single situation. It's not my job. It's not my job to do that. So based on that, you know, there's certain situations where committing social faux pas are necessary, or there's certain situations where we commit social faux pas without even realizing it, or there's situations like what happened to me today at the mercy of Mind Temple, where they are committing a social pas against me, faux pas against me, their customer, right? And alienating me, right? They alienate me. It's so funny because, like, I even remember my father as a small child telling me all the time, he's like, oh yeah, hey, why don't you be going out of your way to make sure that people are properly receiving you, right? I'm like, okay, that's nice, SE child, but I got SE demon, right? But then again, what you learn in season 12, part 2, is that, like, you cannot use your cognitive functions, you cannot be using your type as an excuse for poor behavior. Because there are certain times when I'll commit a social faux pas. It was entirely inadvertent on my part. Like, you know, making people uncomfortable, for an example. There might be times I'll do that. Or there's times where I intentionally do it because it's entirely necessary. It's entirely necessary. As a Heart Temple member, I challenge, with my pursuit of happiness, I challenge the so-called social norms set forth by Mind Temple for our society, right? Naturally, I will do that. In those situations, like it was necessary to do so at that bar today, well, that's what happens, you know? And they had a customer, and they're gonna lose out on a lot of money. That's what happens, you know? That's what happens. That's just the reality of the situation. And Mind Temple, in this particular situation, does not get the benefit, right? You know, sometimes it's necessary to commit social faux pas to stick it to the man, stick it to Mind Temple, basically. Because Uncle Sam is Mind Temple too, let's be honest. It's important to do that. But also, at the same time, there are times where it's inappropriate. What if it's a familial setting? You know, what if it's a church setting? What if it's a religious setting? What if it's about your close friends, right? What is it when it comes to being people that matter to you or people that should matter to you, right? So much depends on reputation. Guard it with your life, right? So much depends on reputation. Guard it with your life. Are you really even going to be able to have a good reputation? Are you really going to be able to have a good reputation if you lack social skills, if you're committing social faux pas inadvertently or even intentionally in various environments? Because that's really the fastest way to alienate fellow human beings. Sure, we have this colloquial judgments of how people should be acting, you know, in certain social situations because of these things called social norms that extroverted feelers are actually used to. But at the same time, it's like some of those should be ignored. Wouldn't you like to know when that is? Wouldn't you like to know, or wouldn't you like to at least be empowered to know how you can navigate any social situation and adjust your own behavior to optimize that social situation for your type? Would you want to know that? Wouldn't you want to know how you could be the best that you could be in that situation? I'm sure you would. I'm sure you absolutely would, right? But oftentimes, people are just entirely ignorant to it. They're ignorant. They're ignorant of how their functions, regardless of development, regardless of your octagram, you as an individual still have to take full responsibility for your functions. You have to take full responsibility for your development or lack thereof. And as a result of taking that responsibility, you learn where you fail consistently, right? Because that's the secret. That's what you got to do. As a result of doing so, you have the opportunity to start developing the social skills that you need for your type to be able to get through any particular situation. That way you can observe the second law of power, right? But there's another law of power that matters in this particular moment. It goes alongside the second law of power. Second law of power being so much depends on reputation, guard it with your life. What about the 38th law? And I believe it's 38th. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. But I believe the 38th one is behave as you like. Behave as you like, right? Or think as you like, but behave as others do, right? Which is, you know, from that social perspective. And that social perspective is entirely necessary. You know, extroverted feelers in terms of heroes, in terms of child, they oftentimes think that, oh dang, looks like the police are going to be interrupting that concert. That would be sad. Yep, they're interrupting the concert. Telling them to pack it up. Wow, that's sad. Wonder what's going on. Maybe he violated a noise ordinance. Oh well. That's pretty sad. A bunch of people came up to him and dumped money into his bucket, though. people are feeling bad for the guy. Oh, well. Poor dude. Oh, Death Knight Dan is in the house. Shout out to Death Knight Dan. Should join the Ego Hackers Discord. So yeah, folks, like, this is a really humbling experience, you know, just going through the first two episodes, because these particular episodes just ends up becoming that much more of an issue over time, where, like, oh my God, I feel so exposed, you know? Because here's the thing, like, what we're doing is we're removing your excuse. You cannot just walk around and be like, oh, well, I'm an ESTJ, so I don't have to care about other people's feelings. You know, oh, I'm an ENTP, I don't have to care about how other people react to me or how uncomfortable I make other people. That's not true. That's false, actually. You should care. You should be consciously aware of it. This is what Carl Jung is all about anyway. His famous line is, we gotta make the unconscious conscious. And that's ultimately what season 12, part 2 is actually doing in terms of social compatibility. You have to make the fact that you have these hangups, specifically with your functions, that are causing problems, and it's universal, regardless of your type, regardless of your gender. It's entirely universal. So you need to be aware of these problems. And that's what this season is doing. It is raising the awareness of these problems, right? So back to the Ouroboros. What is the Ouroboros? Give you guys a little bit of a sneak peek. Let's talk about sexual relationships for a second here between a man and a woman, the masculine and the feminine, right? Which is based on cognitive synchronicity, also known as compatibility, as presented in season 5 playlist here on the YouTube channel, right? Let's see that. Because the reality of the situation is that sexuality trumps nature, also known as personality type, right? And that trumps nurture. So if a man is going to go up to a woman, for example, and initiate with her because he's interested in her, why? It's because his sexual energy is actually activated. So sexually already, that's activated. It starts with him in the man sexually. This is why, you know, a lot of men out there, it's so funny, they keep complaining about how, you know, women always reject them. What they don't even realize is that men reject women more often. They just aren't open about it. A woman has to openly respond as to whether or not she finds a man acceptable or not, right? But the reality of the situation is that men actually reject women more often. Just by walking by a woman and you don't initiate with her because you're obviously not interested in her. Maybe she's too fat. Maybe she's too masculine. Maybe she's too emasculating. Maybe she's gross. Maybe she doesn't have her hair on point. Who knows? But it's so shallow that men aren't even aware of it, because men will assess a woman within like 3 seconds, basically, and just be like, okay, she's not even worth my time. She's not even worth my time, you know? And that's rejection. So the sexuality part, that sexual energy has to be active within a man to even remotely desire to even go up to a woman and introduce himself entirely. What that is expressed through his nature, aka his personality type, right? And then that is expressed through, or at least communicated through, his human nurture, his octagram, you know, with his temple wheels, with his shadow pole, his aspiration pole, his deadly sin, and his living virtue. But how does the woman receive it? She receives it through her nurture, for her cognitive origins, and her deadly sin, and her living virtue, and her shadow pull, and her aspiration pull, as we've been talking about in the octagram, which has been heavily discussed in the Ego Hacking Your Fear Masterclass. If you don't have the Ego Hacking Your Fear Masterclass, what the hell are you doing? It is the biggest comprehensive presentation of what the octagram is and how to use it that we have in any other piece of content that we've ever released. Combine that with the Cutting Edge episode from December 2022, which is the episode about soft locking. Combine all that together, you'll have full knowledge. EgoHackingYourFear.com to grab the course, and then you'll have an opportunity to get the masterclass. If you already have the course but do not have the masterclass, email support at csjoseph.life or open a ticket on the Discord server, and we'll get you the link that you need to be able to get the masterclass. So, but what's the point? A woman then receives the masculine initiation from the man through her nurture, and then it gets filtered, that expression gets filtered through her personality type, and then it gets up to, and then it activates her sexuality, right? Why do you think women are slow at being sexual with men, and men are fast at being sexual? Well, that's because male sexuality is activated first and immediate, because without that male sexuality being activated right off the bat, nothing is going to happen to begin with. And women have to end up receiving that energy all the way, and it's super deep. Their sexuality is super, super deep because they're entirely nurtural on the outside, with the inner shell being, hey, that's your nature, that's your personality type, with at the very, 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 very center of it is their sexuality. This is why women aren't turned on as quickly as men. So this entire psychological concept actually matters, okay? Male sexuality leads to it being expressed through their personality type, which leads to them giving a nurtural experience to a woman that is received through her nurture, and then activates her personality type, which then leads to her sexual expression, right? Male nurtural expression leading to female sexual expression, right? That's how it works. That's why women take longer than men do, right? But imagine all the social faux pas caused by men and women when it comes to their personality type and ultimately their nurture that is getting in the way of the activation of her sexuality, or the activation or the expression of her sexuality, or the activation of his sexuality. His activation, her expression. His activation, her expression. His activation, her expression. Okay? That's why. That's why. Okay? That's how it works. Imagine having all those social faux pas on the male side and on the female side of this Ouroboros that are potentially getting in the way of the sexual relationship from even taking place. Right? All these social hang-ups. Right? You know, like, I don't know how many times where a woman has, you know, like, I had my sexuality activated towards her because I was attracted to her. And then I get to the point where it's like, okay, here's how I'm going to behave as a result of my personality type. But then here's the nurtural experience that I'm going to deliver to her. But then for some reason, nurturally, it just doesn't work out. There's push and pull energy that's getting in the way. It ends up destroying attraction. Or maybe from a personality standpoint, her functions are underdeveloped in certain places. And we talk about this a lot in season 14, part 3, talking about natural pairs. Because natural pairs have to pass the test of the critic, and they have to pass the test of the parent, basically. And that's where nature, aka personality type, ends up becoming a problem, and the relationship basically shuts down. There's so many stars that have to align in this spectrum, right? This Ouroboros, basically, of sexuality to nurture, to nature again, to sexuality again. This endless loop that governs sexual relationships. And this endless loop, it depends on whether or not you can maintain this endless loop, and it's this endless loop that determines whether or not your relationship is going to be a long-term relationship versus a short-term relationship versus a fling or a one-night stand versus not even taking place to begin with, right? Wouldn't you want to know whether or not you are the problem? Wouldn't you want to know that? Wouldn't you want to know if you're the one who's actually failing, that it's because of your social ineptitude or your lack of social skills as a man or a woman that is potentially inhibiting yourself from actually being able to create your part, your contribution to that Ouroboros? Wouldn't you want to know? Because perhaps you would, so that you can make sure that your contribution to the sexual experience or the sexual agenda or to the potential long-term relationship, that if there is any actual problems in that relationship, wouldn't you want to know that it's not coming from you and it's actually coming from them? That they are the problem, that you are not the problem, because you're the one who put in the work. Wouldn't you want to be that person? To know that you have superior social skills, right? Because that's just how it is. And it's so funny watching men get so arrogant about how they think how great they are that they can get with any woman. You know, that's not a fact. That's not true. It's not actually true. How many times do you hear the red pillars talking about, like, especially like Myron Gaines, for example, on Fresh and Fit? Not that I'm criticizing him, but what I'm pointing out is that there's a myth. And the myth is, it's if you're such a great man like Drake, then that means you can get with any woman. No. No. That if you're the high value man, you can get with any woman. No. That's false. That's entirely false. Because you could be a high value man and have all these social faux pas that you're not even aware of. You could still be lacking social skills in certain areas, even as a high value man. Because what if your social circle is full of compatible men and you guys have built businesses together and you became a high value man as you're building value as a man, but because you've been enabled by your fellow men, you're still lacking in those social skills that is necessary to help you interface with women, right? Or on the women's side, where it's like, you know, they're not even a choice. They can't even activate a man's sexuality towards them because of their social faux pas. They can't even take care of themselves. They let their bodies go. They don't do their makeup properly. They don't do their hair properly. They're dressed horribly, right? They are proving to the man that they can't even take care of themselves. And if she can't take care of herself, she can't take care of me. And there's no way in hell I would let her actually take care of children. She's not worth committing to, right? And that's the thing. But as men, it is the male responsibility through masculine leadership to be leading in this area. It is more so in the responsibility of men to make sure that our social skills are sharp. Always. In every single situation, business, familial, with just our friends, or even sexually. It doesn't matter. We have to have that responsibility because it is the job of the masculine to facilitate the feminine. Men can't complain about open hypergamy. They can't. Because open hypergamy exists because the mature masculine isn't around. Why? Because the mature feminine cannot exist without the mature masculine leading the way to begin with. And how can the mature masculine actually lead if the mature masculine is lacking in social skills, like most men are? What do you do? What do you do? Right? Well, guess what? Season 12, part 2, that's going in the members area, answers that question. But we're answering that question from a general practice, from a general perspective, so that you can apply these techniques in all social situations, not just in your sexual relationships. It's all of them. This is basically a new season where we're going to be focusing on personal growth, right? Personal growth. And making you better people by giving you the tools to develop your social skills. Hey, that way.
You're just videoing Sherman. What do you do?
You're not videoing Sherman. Look at the camera.
I'm not going to look. I look at it right now. You're on YouTube. What are you doing?
I'm filming myself.
Film yourself doing what?
Filming my podcast.
What's your podcast?
I'm a mind reader.
A mind reader.
Yeah. You want to be on the show?
I'd love it.
Dope. Let's do it. You do.
All right.
Have a stand.
Right here?
Yeah.
All right.
So open it up right there. Put it on kind of like how I have it, close to your face.
All right.
Yeah. So, Coolio.
Coolio.
All right. All right, dope. All right, so introduce yourself to the audience.
My name's Jasmine.
Yeah.
I'm 23.
Yeah, what do you do?
I do construction.
Really?
I do.
What's that like?
It's great.
You laying down cable or something? Or
I do excavation, dirt
work. Excavation, yeah?
Yeah.
You're not just standing there with the sign?
No, I run the loader, the mini.
The loader, that's dope.
Yeah.
I love me some construction equipment, especially when I sneak into it in the middle of the night with my girl and have my way with her, you know what I'm saying? That's how I really use construction equipment.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
You got the fucking keychain with all the keys you bought from Amazon, or what?
You'd be surprised as to how many times people don't actually lock that shit, especially tractors
field. I lock it because I'm in Spokane. Fuck those guys.
Oh, you don't like Spokane?
No.
No, Spokanistan, Spokompton, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you always live up here or you just move here?
Pretty much northern, Pacific Northwest area.
Yeah, I'm from Washington State, up in the San Juan Islands.
I'm from U of I.
Nice.
Vandals are better than the Cougs. Not really. I hate the Vandals, but...
Oh, are you at U of I now?
No, I already graduated.
Yeah, what'd you graduate for?
Bachelor's in psychology and criminology.
Psychology and criminology, that's bitchin'. But you're doing construction.
Bitchin'. Money.
Money, huh? You can't make money doing psychology?
I make the same amount doing psychology than I do with construction.
But you'd rather be doing construction instead of psychology?
Yeah. There's not a lot of psychology jobs up here.
Really?
Yeah. And the psychology jobs that are up here, I don't want to do. So.
I beg to differ. But then again, you'd have to be willing to become an entrepreneur.
But you also have to get a master's to do more in psychology than you could with a bachelor's.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Fair enough. That's cool.
I've done my research.
You've done your research? What? You look at me as if, like, you're almost assuming, like, I'm treating you like you're some kind of airhead when clearly you're
not. I mean, that's all I've heard from about you and your YouTube channel. So.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
You know, judging book by a cover, but I'm giving you a chance.
Oh, I appreciate that. But yeah. I never judge people like that.
I mean, it's hard to when you're standing out here with a tripod. Like, what else are you going to do?
I don't judge people like that. People judge me like that, though, all the time.
I can tell. That's all I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you heard?
That you just grilling the girls about how they're insecure and they're this and they're that. And you don't really have a backbone to what you're saying.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. Fascinating.
So I figured I'd come and give you a chance, see what you're actually doing.
Yeah, see what I'm actually doing? All right. Yeah. That's cool. You're pretty bold. I like that.
I try to be.
Yes. You try. All right. You ready?
All right. I'm ready. You're a mind reader, apparently.
I am a mind reader. Yeah.
All right.
So what's your name again? Jasmine?
Yeah.
Cool. So Miss Jasmine here is all about living in the moment all the time. Got to be present. Got to give other people a memorable experience. Because she always got, even if it means forcing it on other people, because, hey, at least we got a dope-ass story to tell other people afterwards. Because without the story, you're not going to get anywhere. I totally get that. Yeah.
Totally.
But you're very responsible with what you think. Even though people sometimes judge you like you're some kind of airhead, the reality situation is you actually are very responsible with your thinking. You're actually smarter than most people in the freaking room. Not that anyone gives you any credit for that, which kind of sucks. But it also means you're very critical of other people. You just tell them what you think to the point of being entirely and totally blunt to others all the time. But you do that because you care, and no one cares more than you, because the reality of the situation is, it's like, hey, if I'm going to help you, maybe you'll actually stick around, because that's what you want. You want people to actually stick around, and so that way you don't have to deal with your big fear of FOMO and miss out all the time.
Damn.
Yeah.
Because he's ripping it.
Yeah. Because what are you afraid of the most? You're afraid of your freedom being taken away, and when it is taken away, you get super mega ragey. You don't want your choice taken away, you always want your choice, because if you don't get a choice, no one gets a choice.
Yeah. Yeah. My way or the highway.
Yeah. But then again, at the same time, you're very worried about your past, worried about your experiences to the point where you get super nostalgic at times. Oh, maybe the good times won't last. You got to keep the good times rolling sometimes. Or the things that you've worked hard for in your life, the things that you've earned in your life, right? All of a sudden, you know, what happens when you're forced to share all of those things that you've earned with other people? Hey, they didn't earn that. I earned that. What the hell? So you worry about being forced to share things that you have. I totally get that. Also very critical towards the thinking of other people to the point where you come off super stubborn all the time and have a hard time listening to other people, which can be a little alienating, however. Yeah. And that's how it actually ends up hurting you, because it's like you end up being missed out. You end up being discluded in certain things, and you always want to be included. You want to be the first person people actually call when they're inviting the shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Damn.
Because you thrive on attention. Got to have that attention the time. Not a bad thing, though.
No, but I feel like you say that to everyone, no?
Not at all.
No?
Nope. If you watch the show, you realize everyone's different.
I've never heard of your show. What is it?
I'll give you a card when we're finished.
All right.
Yeah, I got you. Don't worry about it. Yeah, also, the thing that you're unaware of the most, though, is how you feel. Because you don't give a flying fuck about what you feel in comparison to what you think. and what the facts are. Because you'd rather just be told the facts, because everyone's trying to bullshit you all the time. Even to the point where they're even trying to guilt you into doing things that you don't even want to do on a regular basis. Yeah, because that's how they try to freaking manipulate you. Even though you go out of your way to be a helper and you're helping other people, because as you aspire to be a better person, it's because you're trying to improve others, strengthen others, and hopefully they stick around for you because you're trying to build loyalty. This is why sometimes you push people away from you to see if they'll come back to you, because you're trying to loyalty check them, check their loyalty. Hey, do you actually remember all these great things that I've done for you?
No one passes.
Yeah. However, the worst part about you is that
the worst part. You have everyone a tendency, listening?
You have a tendency to take away other people's freedom, especially when your freedom is threatened. Because like I said before, if you don't have a choice, nobody has a choice. And that's the thing. You got to be careful, because while sometimes you just ignore consequences of your own actions to the point where you may even create messes for other people to clean up, and that's how you can drag people down. But at the same time, you're trying to get your friends, especially closest to you, to not get obligated to stupid ass bullshit that you end up getting dragged down in the process, which can really suck.
Small town drama.
Yeah, and the thing you want the most out of life is connection, bonds with other people instead of attachment. But you have a lot of attachments because sometimes you can be a bit of a people pleaser. And attachments is when you get attached to somebody, but they're draining you instead of giving it back. You want to have a bond, which is a two-way street relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing, though. You also want justification, which means, hey, this is what I'm getting out of life. Where it's like, I just want to see what anyone's allowed to get away with at any given time. Right?
I've learned that.
Because some rules should be broken, some rules should be upheld, but hey, let's test the rules. Let's see if this rule actually matters. Let's break it and see what happens, right?
Rules are made for breaking, right?
Not always. Sometimes there's principles behind them that actually matter.
Not according to everyone in this generation.
Goddamn right.
Hey, Tony just left.
What? Tony Helling.
Yeah.
Tony
Helling. So, how did I do?
You did phenomenal. Is that what you wanted to hear?
Don't tell me what I want to hear.
It's called people pleasing. You really grilled me on that one.
Hey, Jazz, we're going to Mix.
We're going to fucking Mix. What is your channel?
Enjoy yourself. Yeah, one second here. Let me turn this off real quick. So, I'm not a mind reader. I'm just a psychologist.
Really? You got a PhD?
Nope. I learned on the street when I was homeless. No. More like some guy like you, just like you actually, grilled me in front of a lot of people one day, told me I was a stupid fucking idiot for telling people the wrong shit. And then in exchange for me taking care of his illegal marijuana grow, he taught me the real shit. And then I learned from the guy who taught him, and then I became the master. So.
The master, I'm gonna look it up. This is gonna go
yeah,
on YouTube.
You wanna, yeah, it already is on YouTube. The other thing is too, you wanna share the audience your Instagram or self-promote or anything like that?
No, I don't give a fuck.
Cool. Enjoy yourself, Jazz. ESTP folks, you want to know what railgun's like? Her. Jazz was like railgun. Except not UDUF. She's more of a, let's see, she's idealization. She likes being objectified. So she's unconscious developed. She's probably had it rough starting out in her life. And she likes it when other people lust after her or are jealous of her. So she's subconscious focused. So she's UDSF. So yeah. So yeah, she's the UDSF version of Railgun. Railgun's UDUF, she's UDSF. Dope. Anyway. The point is, folks, like, there's all these relationship dynamics, there's all these social dynamics that people are just not aware of. And it continues to be a problem over and over and over, right? We gotta stop this. You know, it's our mission as ego hackers to prevent fatherlessness, to turn the hearts of fathers to the sons, the hearts of sons to their fathers. We have to bring back the mature masculine. We have to bring back the mature feminine. And one of the ways that we're going to accomplish this is by sharpening our social skills, right? And you do that by watching season 12, part 2 in the members area. csjoseph.life/members. Become a journeyman member. Those episodes will be, hopefully, dropping tonight. They should be dropping tonight. So make sure you guys are there. You guys are checking that out. You're getting that done, right? so that we can all continue our mission to get rid of fatherlessness. I'm so tired of our children not having a future. And as Jasmine actually pointed out, right? As she actually pointed out, right? This generation, right? She's criticized this generation. Isn't this how this generation actually works? Even she knows. Her TI parent knows. Her TI parent knows about all the bullshit. She knows that she's, I mean, like, when you look at her, you know, if we're going to really judge a book by its cover, I mean, how many, you can ask the question, like, how many times have you been pump and dumped? You know what I'm saying? And it's so easy for an ESTP who craves connection the most and who's easily guilted into things the most, where she is actually victimized by what I call unmanaged polygyny, right? Unmanaged polygyny basically is when a man pump and dumps girls over and over and over and over again. Something that the red pill actually encourages men to do, which I don't recommend that. Now, if they're a non-virgin, you know, okay, sure. Non-virgins, non-virgin woman, right? You know, it's like put out or get out and then see where it goes. But if they're a virgin and you pump and dump a virgin, you are the biggest piece of shit who walks the earth as a man. You are a total piece of shit. Like, wow. You're a shitbag. Like, seriously, you're a shitbag. So don't be that guy. Don't be that person. Now, naturally, there's masculine idealism, right? We talk about this in my most controversial season, in season 31. It is a playlist that is here available on YouTube and on the podcast. If you haven't watched season 31 yet, what the hell are you doing? It is extremely painful for people to watch, especially women, to the point where as soon as they watch it, or even a few episodes in, they'll just go to Reddit and just start trashing C.S. Joseph because they just can't handle that truth, because it completely flies in the face of all their societal-based ego investments entirely. You know? And it's interesting, you know? I had to ask her, T.E. Critic, okay, what's my reputation? You know, this is what everyone's saying about you. They're like, well, hey, you know, at least they're saying something. You know what I'm saying? At least they're saying something, right? I've been down here enough that people just kind of know that I'm always here and I'm always doing my shit and I'm always going to tell the truth regardless of people's reactions, you know? Yeah, it's technically a social faux pas, but it's a necessary social faux pas, right? That doesn't mean that I'm lacking social skills because I do that. I do it because I'm the teacher who's willing to teach through these social faux pas so that people can learn the valuable lessons that they need to learn to grow. And as much as I learned those same valuable lessons as a result of the pain and suffering that I incurred in my own life, right? Because here's the thing, you know, people like her, SE users like her, SE users like Railgun, they learn from other people's mistakes. They have a hard time from learning from their own mistakes. Whereas I can't learn from other people's mistakes. I have to learn only from my own mistakes as a result, right? So that's why John Bodine and I have come together, an SE user and an SI user, in our inferior slots, using aspirationalism with our inferior functions to produce season 12, part 2, so that you folks can sharpen your social skills, right? So go check it out. It's coming, and it's coming tonight. Anyway, that being said, I would like to open up specific questions to the audience right now about this specific thing. I may not be able to answer all those questions, but about this particular subject, go ahead. If you have any questions, now would be the time. You can ask questions about the Ouroboros, for example, because that is something that I revealed from the season 12 part 2 content, right? As a base foundation for what we are going to be discussing in season 12 part 2, and as a foundation in terms of how relationships work from the perspective of optimizing your social interactions, sexual or otherwise, right? So let's see here. Let's go through the comments. Say something about INFPs is my question. They're not aware of how they come off to other people, okay? What is the biggest way ENTP commits social faux pas past their SE demon? Should they approach women at all? Absolutely. I approach women all the time. You know, it's kind of necessary to do so. You know, even if I have no desire for the woman, I'm still going to like number close her and then invite her to events that I host. And then because I've psychoanalyzed her and I'm gonna invite all my bros to those events who I also have psychoanalyzed, I'm gonna put her in front of them and see if they can make that Ouroboros work for them. Maybe they'll be turned on with their sexuality, and maybe they can get her to open up to her sexuality. Who knows? That's what I do. So, like, big whoop, okay? What personality type tends to be the most self-aware of how the world works? Basically nobody. Nobody. Not off by default. They all have to learn life, right? The season in part two involve work relationships interaction for each of the types. Yes, everything that is presented in season 12, part two is applicable everywhere. It is applicable in all situations. All right, BM Christie says, have you adjusted your perspective on who should be approaching who for sexual relationships? Okay, that's a great question. So ultimately, yes, NI users often approach more often than NE users do, but SI users need to get comfortable with approaching, especially if they are men, because men should be doing the ones approaching. Why? Because men need to have a display of leadership, masculine leadership, as taught in the book, Don't Let Her Lead by Zach Rohde, okay? It's very important. What social faux pas do INFJs do most often? That is discussed in the content. I'm not gonna answer that. Can you explain why our ST types direct? No, that has not. Death Knight Dan, what are you doing? So, Spicy Baby says, okay, well, nothing happened. When Mind Temple God, no. Men need to initiate, thank you. Yes, they do need to initiate, but a woman has to basically present herself with her queen energy, the queen archetype of the mature masculine, so that she is initiatable. She has to be able to receive, and most women are masculine these days, so they are already closed off by default because they're in their masculine energy all the time, okay? So what is the difference between ISFJ and, hold on. Okay, what is the best default Riz for Crusader men? Leadership, that's the Riz. Yeah, if you could choose your dominant function, which one would you choose? I'm fine being who I am, dude. Why do ISTJs prefer to be asked what I think about something? That's not necessarily true. Being receptive. So SI user men have it hard when it comes to finding a feminine women, or more accurately, SI user men have a hard time being masculine and actually take on the masculine role of leadership, okay? That's kind of more of a bigger problem, okay? Come on. Yeah. Death Knight Dan redeemed himself. Good man. Death Knight Dan, why are you not on the Discord? Come on. Get out of your... you like my drip? You like my drip, bro? Like, definitely doing, like, you know, tech wear right now. Although I don't have the best jacket for it, but working on that. How would an INTP initiate with women when they aren't aware of how they come off? Because usually those women are okay with that. But again, you'll have to watch season 12, part two to get the answer to that. Explain how women are masculine. If she is beautiful, can she still be masculine? They're masculine because they take the lead, because they don't trust men to take the lead, you know? Are there any particular places where you can find mature, non-masculine women? Not really, not in this culture, not anymore. Except, you know, the women's group, the ego hacker women that we're building to be in their feminine energy and their feminine radiance. Will John be doing these videos with you? No, he will not be doing them with me. That's a great question, Duggo. He will not be doing, but he is speaking alongside with me as we are delivering this season for sure. How to let go of paranoia as a woman? Great question. That is the best question asked. Great question. So how you do that is, hey, what's up, man?
I was just curious to see what you're doing here.
Oh, I'm live on YouTube right now filming my podcast.
How many people are looking at this?
Let's see, 116.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Cool, how's it going, man?
Thanks. You want to be on the show?
I mean, I was just on it,
kind of. No, man. You want to interview?
Fuck, dude.
Yeah. You introduce yourself? Yeah, I'll give you a microphone.
I don't want to do that, dude.
You don't want to do that?
No.
You don't want me to expose your soul to the audience?
What are you going
to
ask me?
I'm just going to show you who you really are to them.
Fuck, that sounds awful.
Oh, it's awesome, because you're actually pretty cool. You ever watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
I don't know what that is.
You've never seen that film? Dude, like, you were a clone of that guy. It's amazing. That guy is a total badass.
I have no idea who that is.
Dude, you're like an intellectual. You should totally get into that shit.
What is it?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off, man.
What, is it a movie?
Yeah, it's a fucking great movie. Have you not seen that? Dude, it's who you are, man. It's like, have you seen Princess Bride? Please, God Almighty, tell me you've seen. You're like that guy, too, the main character of that one, too. Holy shit. Like, seriously, you got to get in on that. Yeah, you know who Steve Jobs is?
I don't.
You know, the guy who founded Apple.
I'm thinking of the guy that made Google. What's that guy's name?
Oh, I don't even know.
I don't know who
I don't
Apple.
Give a shit about Google. Because I'm like an anti-Google person, kind of, maybe.
He's like
I don't know.
Character, though.
Not really an anti.
Like, he's getting, like, buff and, like, fucking, like, fine-ass bitches on phone shit and living a life.
Yeah. Yeah, you remind me of my bro who loves wearing shades at night. He's totally... that man's got rizz.
I just took this from my friends. It's just kind of funny.
Well, dude, you got rizz, too.
It's not like my thing, but...
Oh, dude, it should be your thing. You got the fucking rizz.
That's funny.
Yeah, you never leave without your drip or your rizz. That's his line. You know what I'm saying?
Cool, man. I'm going to go in there. Maybe I'll catch you later if you're still out here.
For sure, bro. Have fun. ENTP for that one, folks. ENTP. ENTP, pragmatic, initiating. What octagram is he? Let's see here. Definitely enabled for sure. So, yeah, subconscious developed for sure. But is he unconscious focused? Is he envious? He seems a little envious, actually. So I'm going to go with subconscious developed, unconscious focus for him, for sure. So, yeah. All right. Kind of looks like Bob Dylan. Oh, my God. You guys, yeah, the Rizzler. That's right. But he ain't got as much Rizz as the Rizzler. No one's got as much Rizz as the Rizzler. Let's be honest. Fib is the ultimate. Envious? Well, because he's trying to figure out what's going on. He's like, oh, should I? Which types do you recommend? Oh, hold on. Yeah, he is not me. That's true. Which types do you recommend exploring other countries to have better social connections? ESFJs and INTPs, absolutely. And then maybe ISFPs and ENTJs. Body temple, for sure. He's in his own little bubble, yeah, for sure. All right. How do ENTPs become super chill and lax? I don't know. Studying Dokudo by Miyamoto Musashi. Okay. Febreze? No. It's Fibriz. That's right. The Rizzler has spoken. All right. All right, these questions are kind of getting off topic. All right, cool. Sounds like we are done with the stream, folks. So, hold on. Would it be bad for my reputation to approach every woman I find worthy, not necessarily rejection? No. No, it wouldn't, actually. All right, cool. What's the difference between... No, I'm not answering that. What if I like... Okay, well, you need to lead, bro. Is Miyamoto Musashi an ISFP? No, he's an INTJ. How to let go of paranoia as a... Oh, yeah. How to let go of paranoia as a woman. Yes. Okay. How to let go of paranoia as a woman. So, here's the thing. Women have been conditioned into believing that their feelings are a burden to other women, to their family, or to men. Okay? If you as a man can lead her and prove to her that she is safe to express her needs, emotions, desires, and problems to you, and know that you will always do something about it and take action as a result of proving your leadership to a woman, then you will not have that problem, okay? You will not have that issue, okay? So therefore, that's how a woman's paranoia can be healed, right? Because she is expressing. Okay, the problem is that what you end up having is what the red pillars call, oh, well, he's just too good to be true. And a woman can't actually believe because she's so beat down by this society with her feelings, you know, because her feelings don't matter because she just is conditioned to believe that her feelings are a burden on other people. Oftentimes, you'll just get rejected as a man by default because she just cannot believe that someone like you even exists and you're too good to be true. And she's scared of that too good to be true, right? This is one of the issues that I have with Zach Rohde's work because he doesn't actually provide a solution to the too good to be true. My solution is as a man in your masculine leadership, you should not give up. I was actually speaking to an INTJ earlier today about that concept. It's like, at the end of the day, if your woman doesn't receive your masculine leadership, that's actually on her. At least you are doing the good thing as her husband, as the father of her children, to continue on with your leadership anyway, regardless of how she responds, because it is your responsibility to lead as a man regardless. regardless of how she behaves. And then as long as you don't give up, or as long as she's willing to stick around long enough to allow you to demonstrate that consistency in your leadership. Now, I'm kind of projecting a little bit because SI inferiors have to be consistent and SI users have to be consistent. But for an SI user, man, you have to want to stay in that leadership role, okay? That's how it is. Do not give up. Do not give up as a man. If you give up, you are a boy, you are not a man. If you give up, you are not being masculine. You are not in your masculine energy, okay? Seriously, don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. So yeah, all right. Is it possible for UDUF INTP to have a very masculine frame? Sure. Women want to see a good consistent pattern to feel safe. That's true. Okay, all right. Any other questions of value? Because, are there any options after failing loyalty checks from Templars, intimate relationships? Should that, just again, don't give up, all right? Are you gonna do a video on masculine feminine energy? I've done tons of videos on masculine energy. Like, I've done tons of them. They're all over the place, come on. All right, Doug will ask the question. Are strong camaraderie relationships between men proof of social skills? Same about compatible relationships with women? That's a huge question. Dougo, you always get me to think every time. God, I love you. I love you, man. Seriously. I have to say yes. I have to say yes on that one, for sure. That's what I would say. Okay. Avery, the last 150 videos for sure. Yeah, INFJ women can be masculine too. I've known many of them. I've broken up with them. Okay. How can an INTP understand an ISFJ? Okay, that's not appropriate. You know. Oh, Doug, I thought you were just gonna say cool. You know, but I'll take a thank you, you know. Hey, he's back. Ready to be on the show, bro?
Yeah, sure.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's do it.
One of my homies is coming out here too.
Yeah, one of your homies? Awesome, man. Yeah, here, I have a stand right here, sir.
Twin brother?
Dope. Oh, we're going to have twins. It's good shit. Let's go. The audience is so happy you came back. Let me turn on the microphone for you.
They like me?
Oh, yeah. What are you talking about, man?
Can I give out my fucking...
I totally want to be a part of this.
Dope.
So this is...
100%.
This is him.
Yeah. All right. So we'll do him first, you know?
Yeah.
Well, so hard. Like, I'm a mind reader. I'm going to read his mind, you know, okay, for kind of pull a soul out of his body and expose it to the audience because this entertainment is value. Hell yeah. All right, so what's your name, bro?
Jaya.
Jaya. How do you spell that?
J-A-Y-A.
J-A-Y-A. That's bitching. My daughter's name is Saya, you know,
my
S-A-Y-A.
Sister's name is Sai.
That's crazy.
No.
That's crazy.
That's love that.
That's weird.
What does your name mean?
I'm named after an Indian skateboarder, Jaya Bandaraj.
Okay.
My dad skated.
Yeah. You'd be great at skating, though.
Yeah.
He's a great BMXer.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. That's bitching. Love that. Got that self-discipline going. Got to keep practicing. Practice 40 hours a day, good sir. It's one of the sayings we have in our community, but it is what it is.
The more you do something, the better you get at it.
Yeah, for sure. All right, are you ready?
Sure. I feel like this is on fucked.
Oh, yeah, it's fine. It's got enough range. You're good.
Cool.
All right, so this gentleman is all about what other people want. He's going out of his way to be as desirable as possible at all times.
Wow.
Because he wants to be wanted.
That's
crazy. Not only that, he actually can look at other people's choices and actually predict their behavior before they actually do it. So he has a little bit of a precognition to him with that predictive capability. He's also an intellectual. It's all about what he thinks. Cares so much about the facts, he doesn't give a flying fuck about how he feels because he doesn't know how he feels, and that's because he just cares about the facts, even to the point of criticizing other people for the benefit. Why? Because he cares a lot and he cares the most, and that's why he critiques literally everyone and everything. However, he's very critical towards what other people think on a regular basis, such that he has a tendency of being stubborn and not listening to anybody, which actually inhibits his own personal growth. That can be a problem. But you're very responsible with what you think, but you realize because you're responsible with what you think, everyone else is super fucking irresponsible with what they think, so why should you listen to them to begin with, right? But then you're super caring. You are aware consistently of how everyone feels all the time. and you're constantly very compassionate to other people as a result. No one can out-compassion you, actually, because you actually give, and you give so much, because you're one of the few people in the world who actually gives for the sake of giving, even with no strings attached. Oftentimes, it can lead you to being taken advantage of if you're not careful. So be really, really mindful of that. The thing that you're afraid of the most is you're afraid of being weak. And that's why you constantly overcompensate with pushing yourself to the point of burnout over and over and over, so that you can prove to yourself that you're not a weak ass and that you're trying to aspire to be the strongest motherfucker in the room. The guy who always sticks around, the guy who's always the last man standing. That is ultimately what you're trying to do, because as you gain your own personal strength as a person, you will be that pillar for other people. You're also a clone of Bruce Lee, which is pretty awesome. If you actually applied yourself in martial arts, you'd actually go pretty far. The other thing is too, also a clone of Andrew Tate, believe it or not. Yeah, which is pretty dope. And then on top of that, but you're worried. You're very worried. You worry about your own future all the time. You worry about where you're gonna be going personally on a regular basis. Now, you work hard to give other people a better future and better choices and better options, hoping that somebody will give you those same choices or at least take you along for the ride because they'd want you. And you sometimes intertwine your future with the future of other people to guarantee that regardless of what happens, you're gonna be safe, because again, that fear of being weak also means fear of being uncomfortable and fear of being unsafe, and fear that you're not going to be strong enough to deal with what life throws in your direction. So you go even deeper and make sure that you're constantly putting in a higher effort, because you're also a clone of Deadpool, because maximum effort, always maximum effort, because you're all about contribution. Your love language that you give to other people is acts of service, and you're constantly giving acts of service to others on a regular basis, and you're always there for them, trying to be as consistent as possible, even though you're often judged as a spaz because you're constantly moving super quickly throughout life as a result of that situation. And we already talked about you being critical towards other people thinking. We already talked about your unawareness of how you feel, because you're an amoral person, not an immoral person. You're an amoral person, because for you, you just don't understand principles, and you have to learn how to adopt the right principles over time in your life, and that's what will make you the most successful. However, the worst part about you, you naturally make people uncomfortable all the time. So as a result of that, you have to learn how to actually perform and go out of the way to make people less uncomfortable, because what this will end up happening, that's how you make yourself more desirable. Oftentimes in life, you think that, if I'm just a stronger person, you know, that is gonna make me more desirable, right? Wrong, it's actually your personal performance. The better you're able to perform is actually the key to what makes you more desirable in the long run. The thing that you want most out of life is to be satisfied. And that's why you are very respectful to other people, because the more respectful you are, the more likely they are to actually satisfy you and give you that satisfaction. Your deadly sin is envy, which is hatred for other people who are more successful and happier than you are, when you know deep down they didn't work for it. And it really pisses you off. And because that's your deadly sin, you have the living virtue of compassion, which causes you to be super compassionate to others. And sometimes you can be malevolent and increase the suffering of people around you so that they learn the big lessons, the same lessons that you learned from your own personal suffering. So you have a little shared suffering aspect about you so that they can improve, because you improved as a result of your suffering as well. And also, you're very fanatical. Sometimes you fanboy over certain things, certain books, certain people over time. And you're always telling other people, hey, check this thing that I read, or hey, look at this book that I read and all this shit. Why? Because you're trying to show them a better path forward, because you've gained from that path that you were on, so you share that path with them as well, so that they have a better future. You're a person who casts vision all the time. You are a visionary, because you can lead people down to a better future if you apply yourself in that regard. You're like Malcolm X, you're like Benjamin Franklin, you're like Steve Jobs, you're like Bruce Lee, you're like King Solomon. That's who you are, man.
What, is this what you do full time?
Yeah.
that was crazy.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
There was some, yeah.
I think 85% of that was like
pretty random,
pretty
on point
on,
stuff.
Yeah. That was
Where'd
great.
That come from? How do you get that?
I'll tell you when we're finished.
Okay. Oh. So after me?
Off air? Or?
No. I'll tell you on air. It's all good, man. Yeah. I'll tell you.
It's like my facial features or.
Sometimes.
That was incredible. That was crazy.
That was,
I was blown away at certain points of that, for sure.
Yeah, but like also the part of me just wants to like doubt it and say you're just spewing off stuff, but it was like pretty close, I feel like, to things. So then I'm like thinking, like, what are you doing? But so it's, yeah, 50-50. But yeah, no, that was pretty close. Yeah, where's my, what's your name?
Chase?
Yeah. I need to go.
Chase, all right. I need this. Me and him know each other pretty well.
Where do you guys know each other from?
We're just friends.
For years,
yeah,
I
was bullshitting you saying that we're
You guys live out here? Like, you always been out here? Is your thing?
We have
same interests. We've worked together, know each other, same friend group, homies, you know, long time.
Yeah. What do you guys do for a living?
He technically works on cars, and technically I work on cars, too.
Yeah.
Car guys.
I work at a junkyard.
I work at a detail business.
Nice. Junkyard?
Yeah. Detail business. Ugly, pretty.
All right, I'm about it.
All right.
Let's go.
Dope.
Hold on, let me make sure I get this on here properly. That's good.
Man. That'll good. Work. One Rizzler to another.
All right.
Because he's got the Riz. All right. So tell the audience about yourself. They always want to know a little bit more about our so-called contestants.
My name is Jaden. I am 22 years old, born and raised in Las Vegas. Moved here about 7 or 8 years ago. My lifestyle has been the same since I was like 5 years old. Bikes, cars, money.
Bikes, cars, and money, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? Like, what? Why? What do you get out of it? Like, what's the drive there?
Financial stability makes me happy, content. Bikes is just like a passion, an escape. Like, some people like to punch a punching bag when they're upset. I like to ride my bike. Cars.
Wait, what?
Some people like to punch a punching bag when they're upset. I like to ride my bike.
Yeah.
I like cars. Cars are just like a risk reward.
Yeah.
It's an investment. It's an asset.
All right. I gotta ask. What's your favorite car situation? What's your ultimate setup? Come on.
I mean, I don't really have a favorite car. I love all things. I love cars, trucks, motorcycles, everything.
Do you like racing a lot? Do you race?
Proper handling car and the car that likes to break both wheels loose, drifting. You know, just. All aspects, honestly. I have two cars right now.
You're a huge fan of Fast and Furious.
I mean, I was before it got to like Fast Five.
Oh, Fast Five. Yeah. And you're just like, fuck.
Then
this.
It just got a little too cheesy, you know.
It gets unrealistic
at a certain point.
Yeah. Where it's like, isn't there like 10 or 11 movies out right now?
There's like 13. Yeah, something like that. Insane. I lost track after like 5. So I guess
that's what happens when Vin Diesel just bought the franchise and just kept rolling with it. Hi, cash cow. You know, just help me
exactly,
out.
Exactly. You
know
exactly.
All right. Cool. All right, so let's. He's the Rizzler. He's got to keep his Riz up. Come on.
Always. Yeah. Top dog, top G.
Yeah, definitely. He is top G. Hell yeah, top G in the making.
Hell yeah.
Mr. Tony Stark right here.
Yes, sir.
He's the clone of Tony Stark. But let's talk about you, man. Let's talk about you.
Okay.
All right, so this man exudes strength, perseverance all the time. He is the man for the job. He wants to be chosen for any particular situation that he's in and be able to succeed no matter what. Because he is Mr. Reliable, always there for his friends, always the guy that can be called on to handle any situation at any given time. And he's always there providing support as a result. Constantly aware of what other people are thinking, he takes his status and his reputation very seriously. And he's always got to surround himself with smart, intelligent people. Like this gentleman here. He's actually brilliant because he's an intellectual. Not that he gets credit for that, but he actually is. And that's why you're friends with him, because you're always constantly picking his brain. Hey, what do you think about this? Hey, what do you think about that? All the time. And then also, you're a very moral individual, always trying to do the right thing, always trying to work as a team, always being inclusive and very encouraging to other people whenever possible. You understand exactly what you value and how you feel, and you gotta weigh everything out in your head before you're willing to commit to those things. However, you can be easily obligated into certain things because all someone has to do is make you feel wanted. Why? Because your greatest fear is not being wanted, not being desirable enough to other people. You're afraid of being unwanted over time. And then the other thing is that you worry about your personal performance and you worry about the performance of other people. You worry about making other people uncomfortable when you know what makes you comfortable. So you go out of your way to share with what makes you comfortable with other people, hoping that they receive that from you so that they're no longer uncomfortable, so you don't have to worry about being the guy who's contributing to the uncomfort of other people. You don't wanna bring down the energy. You don't wanna bring down the vibe. You don't wanna be that guy, basically, because you're the man for the job. You wanna always be chosen, no matter what. You like it when people come to you, be like, hey, I wanna go do this. You should come with me. And you're like, I'm in, you know, all the time. You always want to receive that call. You always want to be that guy doing this. Guy, he initiates with you. Hey, let's just go do this thing. And he's like, okay, yeah, sure, I'm in, whatever. And it's just rolling with it over and over and over. However, you're very critical towards your own thinking to the point where you were younger, you'd be like, wow, I'm a stupid fuck. When in reality, the situation is you actually spend a lot of time thinking about everything. Why? Because you want to make sure that your beliefs match the truth. You want to make sure that what you believe is actually factual. And that's why you try to remember everything all the time. You're like the walking library of Alexandria. You remember everything, even if it's worthless information, because that information might be useful later. You don't know. So you just remember everything all the time and constantly bring it up all the time, because it helps you feel important the more the more you remember on a regular basis. And that's basically who you are. It's part of your identity. It's what you mean to the world as a result. Because here's the thing. Eventually, you'll be able to help people figure out what they should be thinking and guide their thinking and help them become more intelligent. Because you surround yourself with intelligent people, you extract their intelligence and add it to your own personal library, as it were, and be like, hey, maybe you should think about these things differently. You might have a better future because your thinking is wrong. And you try to actually help them become better thinkers as a result of your presence. And that's one of your biggest value adds. And as much as that, you'd be an amazing firefighter, police officer, or a guy who jumps out of helicopters to rescue people, because guess what? You're the man for the job. Any job, you'll be able to take it no matter what as a result. Thing you are unaware of the most, though, is social norms, social rules, social interaction, social bullshit. This guy helps come from behind and gives you advice on how to navigate social situations better to improve your social status as a result, which can be super important. And then from there, the worst part about you is that you are very risk averse. At times you play things safe. So in order for you to take risks, you like to take risks with others so that there's shared risk, so that you're more comfortable in taking those risks as a result. However, in order for you to have the best path in your life, you got to get to a point where you are willing to take risks on your own without having somebody else to support you in those risks. Because the reality of the situation is no one's stronger than you. You can face whatever consequences are coming, even though you're naturally afraid of what consequences may come, which causes you at times to play it safe. However, you have to realize that I can deal with whatever life throws at me. I am actually a strong ass motherfucker and I can deal with it, right? So as a result of that, I can take risks and I'll be okay because I can just deal with it. You see what I'm saying? You understand the rules, you can navigate the rules, you can navigate systems, you create procedures for other people, even though he's far more systematic than you are. However, you can rely on those systems and he can even optimize your systems so that you're always guaranteed a really good outcome as a result. The thing that you want out of life the most is justification, so that you feel justified in every action you take, because you see life from this perspective of, oh, who's able to get away with what when? Who's allowed to do what when? And that way you want to make sure that as a person of character, that your character is always aligned with what is allowable in that particular moment. However, you do have an anger problem. The deadly sin is wrath. And you have to be very careful. And sometimes you feel justified in being angry. However, because your deadly sin is wrath, you also have the living virtue of absolution, which means you're very forgiving. You're extremely forgiving to other people. And as people are more forgiving to you, you are more forgiving to others. You are often making excuses and letting your friends off the hook, hoping that they would let you off the hook when you fuck up, which is actually one of your biggest value adds to your friends. Because they know that you're still gonna stick around because you're a very forgiving person, because you're insanely loyal, and they really need that reliability. Because if they don't have you as their rock, they're just gonna fall apart. And they really thrive off of that absolution that you can bring them. It's just who you are. The other thing is that you really do wanna be connected to people, especially the people closest to you. Being connected is a really, really big deal. Connected such that we have strong bonds with the people that are closer, but you end up being the source of the bond for your friends at the center. You may not be the guy in charge, and sometimes you can take charge, especially when you're angry, because it's like, this is bullshit. I'm really uncomfortable right now. What the hell are we doing? I get that. But the thing is that you don't necessarily always want to be the one leading the experience. You just want to be the guy that, hey, I'm the foundation. I'm the reliable guy. I'm here. What are we gonna do? What do we want to do? Always asking, hey, what do you think about this? Or hey, what do you want to do? Always giving options and choices to others consistently, because you are very consistent. And there are people out there that need that consistency that you provide and that loyalty that you provide. Cool.
I'd say 85% again.
I don't know.
85%.
I'm questionable about it more the second time I heard it. I'm more questionable.
You got a different perspective. Yeah.
Definitely.
I think you're pretty spot on for the most part. I think.
Why are you next to this trash can that smells like a fucking porta potty?
Oh, it's my filter. It filters out the shallow people.
It's not chill.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. No, I think you did pretty good. I think there's just like maybe a handful of things in there that were like. I feel like I'm pretty self-aware.
You might not have grown into your own feet yet. Mm. You'll see those things come up later.
Okay.
Trying to advertise
myself. Cool. Now, how do you base your judgment off people?
Yeah, how you doing this?
From someone psychology. Someone just walks up to you and just shakes
Jungian
your hand.
Analytical psychology, four sides dynamics specifically.
Okay. That was a whole lot of stuff I didn't understand.
Did you like go to college for it? Study?
No, I learned on the street.
Really?
Yeah.
Just meeting more, the more people
homeless,
you met?
Actually, yeah. When I was homeless.
Where'd you live when you were homeless?
Seattle.
That's wow. Cool. So that's crazy.
Just, what kind of psychology, what like leads you to believe certain things and what are you judging things off of?
The type grid. It's an array, basically. It's like an abacus that collects all of human cognition in one thing, and you just follow the vectors in this abacus, basically, from a calculus-based perspective, and you do the calculations in real time based on the behaviors you're observing in front of you.
That makes sense. So based on my reactions, my facial expressions, my body language tells you whether or not if you're on the right path or the wrong path, and then in a way.
I actually really suck at that, but there are people who are way better at that, especially like one of my mentors. He's super good at figuring that out, but I suck at that personally. I do something different. I do a stream of consciousness analysis,
Okay. Usually
is what I have to rely on, because I have to experience a person first before making those judgments, instead of just being able to read them from a distance. Although I've been doing this for so long, like 15 years, that like it's so easy to make snap judgments based on comparisons from other people that I've experienced already and which they are already similar to, and then just go from there. It's
crazy.
It's super simple.
That's cool. What is this on TikTok?
Huh?
What is this on? What are you live streaming on?
YouTube. Yeah.
Okay, I need to get you YouTube.
Yeah.
I'm curious. What's your YouTube?
C.S. Joseph.
J-O-S-E-F-H.
Yep. There you go. Dope.
Cool. 62.4. Good for you, man.
Thanks.
That's cool. Yeah, it's crazy to hear someone else talk about you.
I
know that has nothing.
Of course you are. You're the Rizzler. You're supposed to be skeptical.
It's pretty wild. It's interesting hearing people talk about you that know nothing about you or have never met you before.
Yeah.
It's
especially when you're kind of spot on in a lot of situations.
I know that you like really are into like, you know, as you said, you know, money and whatnot, but you got to get to a point in your life where you're prioritizing saving lives more so than the money.
I think in that aspect, I'm very charismatic and I'm very self-aware, but I think in order for myself to be happy, in order to have that ability to care for other people just as much as I care about myself, I need to know that I'm
do a burnout.
Life, you know?
No, for sure, man. Yeah, because you're Mr. Reliable.
Yeah.
That's how you become the man for the job.
Yeah.
Always the man that people can call no matter what. They know that you'll be willing to drop everything that you're doing just for them because they are important to you. Because there are people out there who are like, oh my God, like I'm not important to anyone. But then you're the guy who's like, no, you're important to me and I'm there for you. Like there's so many people out there who need that.
Yeah, this has been pretty crazy.
Cool.
Probably would be as interesting if I didn't have a few drinks in me, but
yeah, facts.
We should pay attention a little bit more and think about it a little deeper.
Chase?
Yeah.
All right, Chase.
Good to meet you, Jai.
Chase. Jaden.
Jaden.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, Chase.
It's cool.
See you gents later.
Thanks, man.
Have a good night.
He is ENTP and ISTJ, folks. Rizzler is risen up the audience. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, Jai does look like Anakin Skywalker. I should have mentioned that. Yeah, you probably can smell my breath. It smells like cigar. All right, dope. Cool, folks. This has been a fun stream. Thank you all for watching and listening. Like and subscribe. See you guys in the next one. Later.